Well, isn't it a great feeling when you are traveling and you bump into somebody that's from where you live? Anybody have that experience? I mean, it's pretty common for those of us here in Chicagoland, whether we're traveling nationally or internationally, to find ourselves bumping into someone who's from Chicago. It's hard to tell why we figure out they're from where they are. Maybe it's because we hear them talking and they sound normal to us. Perhaps they're wearing their favorite athletic gear or whatever it is, but oftentimes, when you find yourself in this place, you have a chance to have that conversation we've all been through where you compare notes on what it means to be from Chicagoland. Of course, the first thing you have to settle is, are you really from Chicago or are you from the suburbs? Right? Because if you have lived elsewhere, you know that there's a difference. You've got to then discuss your favorite deep dish pizza. This is like obligatory, right, if you're from Chicago. There's right answers for all these things. I'll let you tell me what they are later. Then, of course, Chicagoland, right? What do we get into next? Sports. So you got to decide, is it Cubs or Sox? Or finally, in this fateful week, we can all say, go Bears and pray for them. There are the Bulls and the Hawks, too, but we need to celebrate the chances we have right now. But, right, these are fun conversations we have with people wherever we are, and it's a warmth for us when we find ourselves in places that are new or foreign to us because it feels familiar when we find ourselves having this conversation. Maybe we have this conversation with other peoples in varying forms because we just get to know where they're from because we're traveling and we feel a connection to these people, to the people we're traveling with when we find these things out. Now, what's happening, of course, in that moment is we're answering that question, do you know where I live? Do you know where I'm from? And do you have a sense of who I am because of where I'm from and how I live? And this gives us a chance to get to know someone better in the circumstances that maybe we were expecting or unexpected. But it leaves us perhaps feeling that this big world that we find ourselves in, with 7 billion people today, and you know that's projected to be about 9 billion by 2050? Now, 2050 might feel far off, but that is only 21 years from now. So in this increasingly complex and increasingly impersonal world, isn't it nice that we have times where we can find it becoming more personal, where we can feel connections, when we can feel a sense of being known by people, and especially in the sense of the growing world that we're in, but also with the sense of the world is becoming harder and harder to understand. It's becoming filled more and more filled with hopelessness, when we want hope. We want the world to become more personal, but it's seemingly becoming more impersonal. And it is into that mix that God decided to send us, that God decided to send the church, followers of Jesus, into the world so that we could be part of helping the world become more personal. Not so that it can be just be a nicer place, but so that the world can be filled with hope. So that the world can know that there is a God out there and in here who loves them and wants them to bring hope about in all of the lives, including ours and all of the people we know. And as we've been exploring, this is not something that God just charges us to do. It's something that God has done for us as well through Christ. And what God did through Christ gives us an example, gives us a charge of what it means to help the world become a more personal place. Now, if you've been here for the last 2 weeks, you'll know that we're in the midst of a message series that's talking exactly about what it means for anybody, no matter who you are, to make the world a more personal place. Because God made it personal for us, and in so doing, God wants us to make it personal for other people. And then what we do is when we make it personal for one another, we actually show them that there's hope. There's hope that they matter. There's hope that they are lovable. And there's hope that they're worth knowing. And as we enter into this third week of this conversation, we find ourselves confronted with one more way of making it personal is to know where somebody lives. Now, knowing where somebody lives is not just limited to where they actually live, where their home is, what they call home, or their house or apartment or condo, whatever it might be. Knowing where they live is also about understanding where they live, understanding when they come from and where they come from, understanding who's behind the story of how they live and why they live there. All these pieces come together to give us an understanding of who someone is. And when we bring these things together, what have we done? We've made it personal for them because we've answered the question, do you know where I live? Now, of course, we can answer this question quicker than ever before with things like Google and smartphones, but the reality is understanding where someone's coming from isn't something that's just unique to us. It's also something that Jesus was all about as well. And as Jesus gives us an example of what it means to be personal, he does this time and time again. Time and time again, Jesus enters into the lives of people. He doesn't keep them at arm's length, but he brings them into his life and he goes into theirs. And there's this moment that Jesus does this where he enters into the home of someone and it made it personal. He entered into the home of this guy named Matthew and he changed everything not only for Matthew but everybody who would be at that dinner party that night. Because not only did Jesus know where Matthew lived, but Jesus went there. And in going there, he made it very personal for Matthew. He made it very personal for everybody who was at dinner. And he sent a message to all those people who were watching from the outside in. And so Matthew is this tax collector that Jesus made it personal for. We're not sure as to if Matthew knew who Jesus was or not before the first encounter they had, but it does say that Matthew was doing his job. He was sitting at his tax booth, and meaning that he was on the outside looking in of the community. As we've mentioned before, he was, as a tax collector, he was not a good guy and not thought of as a good guy. He was seen as a collaborator with the empire around them. He was seen as a traitor to the people. He wasn't the person that you hoped your daughter would grow up to marry, and he wasn't the person that you hoped your son would grow up to be. Tax collectors were not loved. They weren't even liked. And so for Jesus to know his name, to know where he would live or find out and then to go, sent this beautiful message to Matthew, sent this beautiful message to the people that were there. Now, it's unclear what happens between that moment where Jesus calls him to follow him, and he gets up and he goes, and what happens between then and dinner, because it just sort of goes from follow me to let's eat. But in the midst of this, we know a couple things must have happened. Either Jesus figured out where he was going, or he went with Matthew to have dinner with him. But then another thing happened in the midst of it, which we can get by hearing the rest of the story, which is the word started to spread that Jesus was going to Matthew's house, that Jesus was going to have dinner with a tax collector. And it's interesting to me, and I hopefully find fascinating to you as well, that this story starts to circulate. Now, this doesn't quite happen like it does in our world today for most of us. You know, like, I don't know about you, but I don't have the paparazzi outside of my house, like, taking pictures of who's coming and going from our house. There'd be a lot of kids' pictures and questions about if we ever clean up our front lawn. But the reality is, word spread that Jesus was going to have dinner with someone that he wasn't supposed to have dinner with. And so the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, started to make their way to the house to watch what was about to happen. Now, they were wondering perhaps if a couple different things were about to happen. First thing that they hoped was that Jesus would have come to his senses, because once he figured out really who this guy was and where he really lived, that Jesus would have understood that on his upwardly mobile trajectory as a, you know, up-and-coming rabbi teacher in the community, that he would have simply said, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize that you were, you know, someone that lived on the lower side of the tracks. Oh, you said tax collector. Oh, I heard prayer collector. But instead, he walks right in. He gets down on the ground, because that's how they would have eaten back then. They didn't sit in chairs. They would have reclined around low tables. And what does he do? He starts to eat. He starts to talk. He starts to get to know the names, probably, of the people around him. He starts to send a message to those who were at dinner with him and those who were watching, those creepers outside, that he cared about the people he was having dinner with. He cared about the lives of the people that he was having dinner with. Because if he didn't care, he wouldn't have stayed. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have gone. Because if you go, you ruin your reputation if you're Jesus. If you go, you seemingly lose all the progress you had made with the people around that day. But Jesus went, and Jesus stayed. And the Pharisees were upset. Because Jesus had made it personal with people that he shouldn't have made it personal with. And they start to chit-chat with the disciples. This whole construction of this dinner party is like super awkward, right? You've got the host who is like, I can't believe Jesus is here. You've got the rest of the people, the guests are like, I can't believe Jesus is here. You know, and then you've got these other people on the outside looking on in. And then, not to make matters worse, then they start like sending messages to the disciples. Like, I can't imagine how awkward it'd be if your neighbor showed up at your door during a dinner party and be like, hey, do you know who you have over for dinner? Like, that's not going to happen anymore because, like, people don't even answer the doorbell anymore when it rings. Have you heard of this, that people have stopped answering the door when they're home? I see some people laughing because they're like, that's totally me, right? They're like, can you text ahead of time to let me know you're coming? Like, it's not just so they can clean the house. It's so you can decide whether you're going to answer the door or not. Like, it's a little different today, but the reality is there were some weird customs back then, too. And so when they were sending those messages into the disciples, they were basically asking the disciples, hey, do you guys want a way out? It looks like Jesus has lost his mind. I know you thought he was going to be your teacher, that you were going to be his like right-hand people when the time came, but look what he's doing. He's ruining his life. And not only that, he's ruining your life. Or like, do you know how many ritual baths he's going to have to take to get that sin or stink off of him? Like, those are the things that were going through their minds when they were trying to get the disciples to realize that's what's going on. And Jesus, being Jesus, or maybe they told him what was going on, he knew what they were saying. And Jesus reminds the disciples, and Jesus then smacks the Pharisees in the face with the truth that Jesus came not for the healthy, but for the sick. And that Jesus came to bring mercy, not judgment. And that that's what God wants as well. And everybody at the dinner party that day would have been so relieved that that's what Jesus said, because the party could continue. And everybody who was on the outside watching that day would have realized also the party was going to continue, and they weren't invited. Well, they were invited, but they didn't want to go. They didn't believe that God would make it personal. They didn't believe that God would send hope for all people, regardless of what their expectations are of who God would love or could love or would ever love. They were watching from the outside, looking in, and what they learned is that God made it personal because God loves all people. And the beautiful news is that God didn't stop loving all people then. God keeps loving all people today. And God continues to make it personal with and for us in all of moments of our lives. And God wants us to be a part of making it personal as well for people. It can start by knowing someone's name. It can build on by knowing what matters to them. And it can be found furthermore in knowing where they live. Because in knowing where they live and how they live, it gives us a sense that they matter. It gives a sense of the people that love them matter to you as well. And ultimately, it shows them that you care enough to enter into their world, to understand who they are and where they're coming from. And then this awesome thing happens when we show that we care about someone, when we show that we care about who they are, where they come from, and we tell them that God cares about who they are, that God cares about who you are, they start to believe you. And if they start to believe, and if we start to believe or continue to believe that God loves you and cares about who you are, you know what that means? They have hope. They have hope that this world can be personal. They have hope that this world can be filled with joy, can be love, and that they can experience that love too. And that's what Jesus did for us. That's what God did for us, and that's what God wants us to do for others. God wants us to make it personal so that the world can be filled with God's hope. So let us continue to do what Jesus did for us, which is make it personal. And let us commit ourselves to knowing where someone lives so we can know who they are and where they come from, so we can celebrate who they are and where they come from, just as God celebrates that as well. Let's bring hope to all places and all people.